This series by UBS is presented by Automated Voices and may include adaptive narration.
Hi, I'm Anna from the UBS Chief Investment Office. It's Wednesday, the 8th of July, and the time is 7 a.m. in New York. Equities were broadly lower. The S&P 500 slipped 0.4% and the Nasdaq fell 1.8%. In Europe, the Stoxx Europe 600 lost 0.8%, and Switzerland's SMI was down 1%. Japan's Nikkei 225 dropped 2.1%. In foreign exchange, 1 euro buys 1.142 US dollars, and 1 US dollar buys 0.81 Swiss francs. The US 10-year Treasury yield is 4.55% and was unchanged on the day. Brent crude is trading at $76 a barrel after rising 3%, while gold is trading at $4,130 an ounce after falling 0.7% overnight. And that's all for the market update. Now let's take a more detailed look at the latest developments.
Thanks, Anna. Brent crude moved sharply higher as tensions between the US and Iran re-escalated. So what exactly happened?
Brent crude rose by around 6% on Wednesday and climbed above $78 a barrel for the first time in 2 weeks after tensions between the US and Iran flared up again. The U.S. military on Tuesday launched a series of new strikes against Iran and revoked a license that had allowed the country to sell oil after three tankers were hit by projectiles in the Strait of Hormuz. President Trump said on Wednesday that he believes the memorandum of understanding with Iran, which had set the stage for talks toward a permanent resolution to the conflict, is over. He also said talks with Iran were a waste of time.
And how did Iran respond, and what was the immediate market reaction?
Iran's foreign ministry said the U.S. move breached the framework agreement the two sides reached last month to end the war and added that it would take any measure it deemed necessary to safeguard its interests and national security. At the same time, the 10-year U.S. Treasury yield rose above 4.57%, its highest level in nearly 4 weeks, and S&P 500 futures were down 1% ahead of the start of U.S. trading.
Given that backdrop, how should investors think about the near-term volatility risk?
We have held the view that the path toward a lasting peace deal is likely to be bumpy, with periodic flare-ups and tensions potentially triggering bouts of market volatility. But we also believe both sides remain incentivized to keep the strait open, and that investors should retain diversified portfolios.
Taking a step back, why do you still see room for equities to move higher?
The key point is that strong earnings growth should drive equity markets higher. We see room for global equities to move up further, driven not only by continued strength in AI growth, but also by a resilient economic backdrop that should support earnings growth outside the AI complex. Secular trends, such as electrification and longevity, should underpin further gains in sectors including utilities and healthcare, while the increase in global manufacturing activity points to improving conditions for industrials and other cyclical parts of the market. We forecast earnings growth of 21% for global stocks as measured by the MSCI ACWI this year, followed by another 12% increase in 2027.
And what does this mean for bonds and portfolio income?
Elevated yields offer an opportunity to secure appealing portfolio income. Persistent inflation concerns have kept global bond yields elevated, but we expect them to fall as the year progresses. We believe policymakers are likely to maintain their hawkish stance for a while longer, but once they become more confident that second-round inflation effects are limited, a softening of central bank rhetoric should support lower bond yields through the second half of the year. In the U.S., recent data suggested tariff effects are shifting onto a disinflationary path and that the labor market is not overheating. Lower Federal Reserve policy rates next year should help drive yields lower, benefiting short to medium maturity quality bonds.
What role do commodities play in that diversification case?
Broad commodity exposure can provide diversification benefits. The latest hostilities in the Middle East underscore the challenge for shipping confidence to be fully restored in the near term. Coupled with the strait's reduced capacity to accommodate ships traveling through the waterway and a likely slower than expected process of production recovery, we expect Brent crude prices to rise to $85 a barrel by the end of this year. This supports our positive view on broad commodity exposure in a portfolio context. Energy can help buffer against renewed supply disruptions, El Niño-related risks may support agricultural commodities, and AI and electrification trends remain positive for industrial metals.
Finally, what's the main portfolio takeaway from all of this?
While markets may swing in response to fresh geopolitical headlines, investors should stay the course with a portfolio that is well-diversified across asset classes, regions, and sectors. Investors can also consider capital preservation strategies for more defensive equity positioning.
Great, thanks, Anna. Now let's turn to what else caught our attention today. Amazon's debt issuance is drawing attention. Its $25 billion US dollar bond offering this week drew softer demand than its $37 billion US dollar issuance earlier this year. Covered at 1.6 times the deal size, demand was weaker than the average coverage of around 4 times for US high-grade corporate deals this year. The transaction brought Amazon's bond issuance over the past year to about $107 billion US dollars, the highest among big tech companies. Without commenting on individual companies, we highlight that incremental hyperscaler spending is likely to be increasingly funded through debt and equity issuance, as we estimate their operating cash flows will be overtaken by their cash capex requirements in the second half of this year. We believe corporate bond issuance is manageable in the context of an overall market size of $9.2 trillion US dollars, but investor pressure for greater capital discipline is likely to increase after several years of rapid capex expansion. We maintain our conviction in the AI investment theme, but we think diversification both within and beyond AI is key. South Korea's equity decline is another development in focus. The KOSPI has entered a technical bear market after falling more than 20% from its all-time high 2.5 weeks ago. The latest decline came amid investor concerns over the durability of AI capex expansion. Even so, the index remains 72% higher than at the start of the year. Our view is that this correction should be seen in the context of the market's strong rally this year, as the KOSPI had gained as much as 116.3% before the latest decline. While the risk of slowing hyperscaler capex growth has risen, we maintain a positive outlook on select AI semis and hardware stocks in Asia, and believe tech strength should continue to support markets like South Korea and Taiwan. Samsung Electronics, for example, forecast a 19-fold increase in second quarter profit built on continued demand for memory chips. Without taking any single security views, we continue to favor semiconductor equipment, foundries, CPU-related compute infrastructure, and memory within the picks and shovels of the AI build-out, but we also see value in defensive areas such as payment networks and data center REITs. Investors should ensure a diversified approach to their AI exposure. Looking ahead to the 9th of July, the focus is on China's June inflation, Germany's balance of trade for May, and US existing home sales for June. And that's it for today, and we look forward to bringing you the latest House View update tomorrow.
This material has been prepared and published by the Global Wealth Management Business of UBS Switzerland AG, regulated by FINMA in Switzerland, its subsidiaries or affiliates, collectively referred to as UBS. The investment views have been prepared in accordance with legal requirements designed to promote the independence of investment research. This material is for your information only and is not intended as an offer or a solicitation of an offer to buy or sell any investment or other specific product. The analysis contained herein does not constitute a personal investment recommendation or take into account the particular investment objectives, investment strategies, financial situation, and needs of any specific recipient. This material may not be reproduced or copies circulated without prior authority of UBS. Please visit www.ubs.com/CIO-disclaimer to read the full legal disclaimer applicable to this material.